are routinely subject to solitary confinement for very, very long periods of time. And this is done either because there's some kind of disciplinary measure is taken, or quite frankly, as a means of protection, which unfortunately creates additional harm.
So, Amy, is this practice of solitary confinement for juveniles, is the United States the only Western industrialized democracy that utilizes this?
Well, there's no question that the United States is an outlier in our use of solitary confinement. Both for children and adults, we use it far more than any other Western country. Indeed, most argue that we use it far more than any other country in the world. And it's quite true that at the international level, under human rights law, solitary confinement for children under the age of 18 is considered cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. In fact, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture has called for a global ban on the use of solitary confinement.
Put it there, boy. We'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
My name is Savannah Simon. I'm from Elzibukduk First Nation, and I'm here at the site where it all went down today. I just want to inform you about what's happening in Canada, in case you haven't heard. We've had a peaceful protest begin here, and it's happened for a couple of months now. We've had warriors stationed and lodging outside in tents here, and they peacefully want to bring awareness that our lands are not being protected anymore, and that fracking from a Texan company is overindulging into our land. And today, it was kind of like a war or a hell on earth, because the RCMP actually came out when our women were singing and hand drumming and just finished praying the rosaries with the Father right here. They came out and trampled on top of our women, and there's video footage to prove that. And then, of course, the warriors will come and protect the women. And it took 700 RCMP officers to try to contain 80 warriors at the maximum in a town of Rexton, which is a population of 800. You do the math. Is that really necessary? And they had these RCMP officers who came out like SWAT. They had shields, they had helmets, they had batons, they had rifles. They were all barricading us. And this took place just down here today. And I actually saw one of my friends who is a lawyer, and she's a wonderful woman. And she got brought down to the ground by several police officers who kicked her and punched her in the face just because she threw in the white towel. You know, what is this? This is not necessary. These officers are treating us like we're objects. They're shooting at us like we're objects, like a video game. We're not objects. We're human, and we deserve respect. This was initially our land. Yes, we shared it with you guys, and this is the thanks we get. Before you decide to be ignorant and don't realize what's truly going on here behind the scenes, I just want you to think of one thing. This whole issue is not an Elzibukduk issue. It's not just a native issue. This is an environmental issue, which has to do with the water that you drink and your kids drink and your kids' kids are going to drink. And this is the same land that you live in and that your family's going to live in. If we let them take over and do whatever the Texan company wants to do with the SWN fracking, we can't ever go back there. If they take it, we can't go back. We can't get our land back. Once they take it, it's theirs. They're already trying to say that this is Crown land. It's not Crown land. This is our First Nation land. I saw with my own eyes that there was elders and women and children who were getting pepper sprayed and maced in the eyes. If you think that the RCMP are here to serve and protect our people, they don't need to be doing that to my people. Yeah, there's been breakouts. Our people get mad. We get enraged when you hurt our people. Of course, what do you expect? This is our families. I just want you to realize one thing before you open up your mouth with any ignorant comments. I want you to realize that while you're sitting at home watching the news or feeling safely protected because you work for the government, I want you to realize who's fighting at the front lines here. Not only for the First Nation people, not fighting just against these RCMP demons. It's the people who are fighting for everybody's land, everybody's water, and that's my First Nation people. Well, all in on Sitnogama.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land!
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Rindigina.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
The image of Canada is one where the world believes that Canada is a gentle northern neighbor of the United States. What the world sees of First Nations people in Canada is one of beauty and tradition, often seen in powwows and other cultural gatherings. What the world doesn't see is the reality that First Nations face on a regular basis. They don't see the horrific human rights violations that First Nations peoples have been dealing with for generations. Today, a lot of attention is focused on the National Day of Action on June 29, 2007, when Indigenous people will protest all across Canada against human rights violations. For decades, the inaction of successive Canadian governments in dealing with these issues has brought protests and occupations to a head. Not since the 1973 siege at Wounded Knee, South Dakota, has Americans seen such violent confrontations between Indigenous people and governments. Americans are waking up to events in Canada, perhaps questioning the security of their largest foreign oil supply. America needs 21 million barrels of oil a day, two-thirds of which comes from foreign sources. With Hurricane Katrina having taken out 30% of American domestic oil production, a stable supply of foreign oil is essential to the American economy. Since the advent of Native American casinos, violent indigenous protests have not been the norm in the United States. Nowadays, Native Americans are generally a part of the U.S. economy. Despite a violent history, today many American Indian reservations proudly fly the American flag. There are now 13,000 Native Americans serving in the U.S. military, with 2,000 serving in the front lines in Iraq. Not so in Canada.
The strong message is the Indians have just begun to fight.
If you do not deal with this generation of leaders and seek peaceful solutions, then we cannot promise that you are going to like the kind of violent political action that we can just about guarantee the next generation is going to bring to you.
There was an intensive lobby here in Ottawa for the past week to reinstate Aboriginal rights. For the native leaders, it's a devastating loss. But they're warning the provinces to expect a hard political fight because native groups are coming away from this united.
Across Canada, a litany of frustration at the hands of various governments has boiled over into noisy protests.
The drums and chants are songs of Indian honor, and it's the largest demonstration so far in this constitutional fight for Aboriginal rights.
With 30,000 miles of railway lines and over 50,000 miles of oil pipelines in Canada, no one should dismiss the possibility of conflict in Canada. Canada is the United States' largest trading partner. Officially, trade between Canada and the United States is more than $1.5 billion a day. The American economy, representing 28% of the world economy, is heavily subsidized by Canadian resource wealth. Canada's gross domestic product in 2006 was over $1.1 trillion U.S. dollars. Only nine countries in the world in the trillion-dollar club. Only nine countries in the world have a gross domestic product over $1 trillion U.S. dollars. Those nine countries have a combined gross domestic product of over $30 trillion and control 68% of the world economy. That leaves over 180 countries in the world with a combined gross domestic product of only $14 trillion or less than 32% of the world economy. The vast majority of the world's people do not share equally in the wealth of the world economy. While Canada and the United States have a combined landmass of over 7 million square miles, Indigenous peoples in Canada do not share in the wealth of the land. North Americans are in the top 10 highest per capita gross domestic product, but the United Nations found that the Indigenous people in Canada were in the 63rd level at the UN Living Index, and the poorest county in the United States is the Native American Reservation, Pine Ridge, South Dakota. While Canadian resources subsidize the U.S. economy, Canadian Indigenous people, the original owners of the resources, get no royalties on any of the 60 different metals and minerals mined in Canada. No royalties on the 3 million barrels of oil a day produced by Canada, or stumpage fees on vast forests that are being clear-cut for the benefit of others.
In oil-rich northwestern Alberta last year, the Lubicon Lake Band staged a six-day blockade of 10,000 square kilometers of land after 48 years of treaty negotiations had produced few results.
There are well over 1,000 land claims across the country not being settled, while Canada continues to sell off hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of Canadian resources every year into the United States. 87.1% of the exports of all Canadian exports flow to the United States. 72% of all foreign investment in Canada comes from the United States. At 3.8 million square miles of land, with a small population of 33 million people, land should not be an issue in Canada, but increasing violence between Indigenous people and the government is centered on who owns the land. Four immense pipelines are being proposed to take Alberta oil to the United States. Exxon reported in a newspaper article $10.4 billion gross profit in one of its quarters in 2006. Under the North American Free Trade Agreement, Canada is obligated to ensure security of energy exports to the United States. The United States is also legally obligated under American law by the North American Free Trade Agreement to ensure environmental standards for American companies extracting oil in Canada. In 2006, two countries, Canada and Russia, voted against the UN Declaration on Indigenous Peoples' Rights, even though the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 17, refers to the fundamental right to property. Canada does not recognize the right to property in its Charter of Rights and Freedoms. In 1982, Canada deliberately omitted the fundamental right to property in its Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The state of Minnesota recently took the plight of Indigenous peoples in Canada seriously. Minnesota buys 40% of all hydro-generated electricity exported from the province of Manitoba. Minnesota passed legislation demanding that the government of Manitoba account for environmental damages caused by huge northern dams, and how that environmental damage affects Indigenous peoples. Housing has been a tremendous problem in terms of human rights. The right to shelter, the right to employment, and protection from unemployment is a huge issue.
The joint effort between the province and the federal government to create jobs, to create training, to develop our economy. And that's not asking for anything special. They do that for everybody else in this country. Why can't we do that for us?
When the vast majority of First Nations in Canada have anywhere from 70 to 90% unemployment.
We're left out of the unemployment statistics in this province. We're left out of fair and equal treatment in this country. And we're even left out of our own legislature so that they can keep us out of sight and out of mind and keep us quiet so that they don't have to deal with our human rights that are being violated in this country.
In this, one of the richest countries in the world, First Nation people are dying at a tremendous rate in terms of their health and in terms of housing. Some houses have 25 people to a two-bedroom house. Unbelievable poverty among the First Nations people. There is a tremendous amount of suicide in northern communities. And the First Nations people are suffering a tremendous amount of deaths among young people. 500 murdered and missing women in Canada. There is a list of these 500 murdered and missing Indigenous women. Indigenous people make up 2% of the Canadian population, but 50% of the people killed at the hands of the police every year are Indigenous people.
Still smoldering barricades were removed this morning from one of southwestern Ontario's busiest highways. Kettle and Stony Point natives decided to remove roadblocks from Highway 21 after meetings with band leaders and Grand Chief Ovid Mercredi.
We got enough bloodshed now. I'm scared there's going to be more bloodshed if it don't come down.
On Sunday, March 22nd, 1998, in Soutina Reservation in Alberta, RCMP officer Dave Bowler takes a shotgun out of his car and kills Connie Jacobs and her 9-year-old child, Ty Jacobs. Connie had been refusing to let her children go into care. Ty ran around the house that day, yelling, "Leave us alone." Within days, Bowler is cleared by 7 white judges. Within months, he gets a raise and is promoted to sergeant.
I was given a message this morning, not too long ago, that there's a raid going on in Burn Church right now. My chief's been arrested. Many of the other fishermen have been arrested. More of our boats have been seized. Our supporters out on their boats had their boats swamped. They've been arrested. Some of our warriors right now are about to defend the wharf on which we send our boats on. There's a talk that RCMP is about to go and raid them now.
We take every precaution to make sure that people aren't hurt. But the fisheries officers have a job to do out there. They have to remove traps that are illegal or unauthorized. And they'll continue to do that. Those instructions that go to them are from me and from the department. They're carrying out their responsibility. And they'll continue to do it.
They say we have the freedom of assembly. They say we have those basic fundamental freedoms. And when we try and exercise them, this is what happens. They arrest our people, they handcuff them, they pepper spray them, they throw them in jail.
And then they kill them!
Come on!
Shoot! Shoot!
Fucker!
Get him out of here!
Shoot!
With the confrontation between the First Nations people and the Government of Canada. Clearly the issue is still about the land and resources and the fact that there is over 1,000 land claims in the system right now. Where the Indigenous people end up sitting before a government panel to determine whether or not the land or the rights of the Indigenous people is valid. And that is being determined by a country that voted against the United Nations Declaration on Indigenous Peoples' Rights. It is very clear that the issue is in terms of land claims and confrontations. It has always been the issue of the land. Canada, being the second largest country in the world, the Indigenous people are still struggling for a proper land base. In fact, they occupy less than 0.25% of the land base in Canada. It's grotesque in terms of the amount of land that was taken from the Indigenous people. There is a national call for the First Nations people, the Indigenous peoples, to stand together and for a national day of action to drive home this impending crisis that may include railway blockades. The security of Canadian exports into the United States is something that can be no longer ignored. Human rights violations are not an issue simply for other nations like Russia or China. The violation of Canadian First Nations rights are a regular occurrence in Canada.
I just want to say, Anine, I'm very angry and I'm very hurt and disappointed at the way our people are treated when they come to this place that is ours. This land is ours. We never gave up the right to this land when we signed our treaties. This friggin' government doesn't even live up to our rights. This is why we're doing what we're doing. And we have to continue to do this kind of stuff. We gotta wake up and start fighting with these friggin' bureaucrats.
Native protesters went on a rampage yesterday in Ipperwash Provincial Park. A rebel splinter group is still in the park, claiming it is the site of a sacred burial ground.
Confrontations have become more aggressive on the First Nations side in terms of direct action. The confrontation have been that the Indigenous people, the people themselves, are starting to tell the chiefs, "We are not waiting for you any longer, and we are not going to wait for a system that does not work. We are not going to wait the average 27 years that it takes to settle a land claim. We are not prepared for that. We are not going to allow the poverty to continue. We are just going to take back our land." And that's what has been happening in Caledonia. What happened in Ipperwash, where Dudley George was shot to death by police. That is what has been happening in Grassy Narrows, where clear-cutting has been opposed directly by blockades. That is what happened in Gustafson Lake, one of the largest police actions ever in the history of Canada. At Oka, where the town of Oka wanted to extend its 9-hole golf course to 18 holes over a known Mohawk gravesite. Human rights are an issue in Canada. China is projected to have a population of an increase of 161 million more people by 2020. In India, the population will increase by close to 300 million people, with both the Chinese and Indian communities booming at close to a 10% yearly growth rate. Canada's northern resources will become premium in a world that will be running out of accessible resources. Americans will have more competition for access to Canadian resources. In the far north, as global warming affects the Northwest Passage, cutting 7,000 kilometers for imports from the Far East, the political status of Canada's 2 million square miles of land, guarded by less than 100,000 people, will become a world issue. For now, the Indigenous people of the North, who make up the majority of those 100,000 people of loyal Canadians, the question is, how long are they willing to see their resources flow south, with limited benefit to them? If Quebec finally succeeds in gaining international sovereignty, will the North remain Canadian? 230 years ago, 13 states in America declared themselves independent of England and its despotic rulers. To take such drastic action as to declare independence meant that Americans needed to justify those actions. Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes." And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security.
Instructions that go to them are from me and from the department.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that prevents pregnancy. It is not an abortion pill and does not cause an abortion, only the prevention of pregnancy. If you have had unprotected sex or have been raped and need Plan B, contact your local Indian Health Service. You have a legal right to receive Plan B over the counter, meaning without a prescription or a doctor's appointment if you are 17 or older. Plan B must be taken within 72 hours of sexual intercourse to be effective. For more information, call 605-487-7072. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And goddamn the Democrats.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
The United Nations slams Canada's child rights record and accuses Harper's government of, quote, serious and widespread discrimination. Canada recently passed a new law. Bill C-10 allows for harsher penalties for youth offenders and makes it easier for courts to judge them as adults. The UN says that Canada no longer conforms to its Child Rights Convention or any other international standards. UN authorities also indicted the Canadian government for discrimination against its Indigenous and Black community. According to the report, a Canadian Aboriginal is more likely to be jailed than a graduate from high school. Many analysts say that under Stephen Harper's government, human rights abuses in Canada have increased dramatically. Well, from Vancouver, I'm joined by Alfred Lambremont. He's a human rights lawyer. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Lambremont, I mean, we have Canada constantly accusing Iran of human rights violations. In the United Nations, it's been behind several resolutions against Iran. But is there anyone to question Canada's human rights violations?
Well, you know, I can verify firsthand of Canada's genocide against its Indigenous population. And I say that because I've been a legal advisor to the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, and specifically into the graves, the mass graves at the Aboriginal residential school in Brampton, Ontario, where now there have come to light the remains of mass graves of First Nations children who were murdered as part of the residential school program. But what is more, that has been covered up by the current Harper administration, Harper government. And I don't call it the government of Canada. In fact, the Harper government calls it the Harper government, not the government of Canada. So I think that what is real here is that Canada has become a nation that is covering up its own genocide, and one need only go to the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State for detailed verification of that. The website is itccs.org, and I'm a legal advisor to that. And I'd like to say something else, that immediately following my last broadcast on Press TV with regard to the legality of or the illegality under international law of the drone bottom bombings of Yemen, my commercial mail was rifled by agents of the government of the Harper government in Canada Post, and I complained to my member of parliament, and they did an investigation. Here is the official envelope of the government of the Canada Post, so that the Harper government is retaliating politically against journalists like myself who report these facts on Press TV. And I want you and your audience to know what is happening to journalists in Canada who report these facts and who confirm what you're saying in Canada. The Harper government is protecting genocide here in its territory, and is committing reprisals against journalists like myself who report the illegality under international humanitarian law of U.S. drone strikes in Yemen and in that region.
Indeed. Now, Mr. Lambremont, I mean, you speak of Canada's rights violations and the genocide, but how is the government of Canada perceived among Canadians themselves? How informed are they of their government's rights violations?
Well, the population here is highly polarized, and as more and more of these facts come to light, there is a greater segment of the population, I would say almost 3-1 now, that is against the Harper government. The problem is that we won't have an election here for several years, and Harper has abrogated parliamentary procedures, so he's functioning almost like a dictator.
Indeed.
So, it's sort of like the U.S. during the Bush years, where Bush was able to fight a completely illegal and genocidal war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And we have the same analogy here, but I think that the Canadian population are onto him, and the vox populi is turning against him
right
by the day.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, we'll have to leave it there for the time being. Many thanks to Alfred Lambremont Weber, human rights lawyer from Vancouver. Thanks for your time there, sir.